Holy shit, Travis, did you learn how to add someone?
Yeah.
Woo! This has been a process.
That was amazing.
This has been a process.
All right, I think I added both Kyle and Ben. I just couldn't start a damn call because I'm
it's
old
literally
and
the
don't
button
know
with
shit.
The phone picture.
Dude, yeah.
The phone picture button. That's
How do
all
you,
you hit. Okay.
You're going to have to give me a few drinks in me to get live in the colon.
Oh my god.
We record all of this. Full disclosure, anything said now can be used.
Hold on, give me
guys, give me a second. Minutes. I'm gonna look up Indiana on Kim Pump. Hold on, I'm scrolling. I'm still scrolling.
South Florida's ranked 268 on Kim Pump. So this brings me to something like, why are you guys so against S&P? You guys have great S&P rankings. You're 38th right now. That's 13 whole spots ahead of Indiana.
Okay, first
what
of all,
what is your deal with hating on
me.
The S&P?
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, what the f*** are you even talking about?
I don't know. I think it would suck to lose to Rutgers in football, though. That would be even worse.
Yeah, especially if you drove all the way out for it. That was
right. I know. Yeah. What are you now, Travis? Like 2-10-1 in like Big Ten games that you've like the first time you've seen Purdue in the opposing team stadium. Some
one,
crazy stat
and,
like that.
1-10-1 with only I'm 1-10-1.
Stop
no,
going
11
to games.
And one.
Jesus Christ.
I'm 1-11-1.
An anomaly at that point. You would have a higher hitting percentage, like hitting on supermodels, than you do seeing Purdue win on the road.
Yeah, I think at this point that's statistically significant, and you should just stop going.
The only time I will have rooted for Alabama harder in a game was when they played Notre Dame in the 2012 national title game. I was rooting for Alabama there because I'm not a reverse.
God, that was such a great
game.
I'm
surprised to hear you're not rooting for Notre Dame, but we'll move past that.
No, that's why I bring it up. I'm not,
Notre Dame is the absolute worst.
Yes, we can agree on that.
Can we get some real IU fans on here who like football?
No, you can't. They're all Butler fans now.
Hey-o.
Oh, wow. All right, well, I'll do a bit of an intro, and then we'll get into this. And
oh, wait, you haven't even started yet?
No.
We do a cold open that I will edit out of all of this bullshit.
Then
like music plays, and then Travis Wait. Usually just prepare yourself now. Travis is going to start a monologue. It's going to be real creepy. He picks a tone of voice that is not at all acceptable to talk to anyone that's not asking to be like whipped afterwards.
No. Or like to catch a predator.
And
like...
it lasts for like 2 minutes. Like I think he writes it up beforehand. But I'm not, I haven't got confirmation.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the Hammer and Rails podcast. That's right, we do still do this on occasion, and we are coming to you live from multiple locations around this great country, and it is a Bucket Week podcast with special guests from Crimson Quarry. That's right. let's lead off with our own crew here. As of course, I'm T-Mel from HammerAndRails.com, and with us recording everything in West Lafayette or Lafayette, Indiana. I'm not sure what side of the river he lives on. Is Casey? How you doing, Casey?
I'm currently drinking whiskey, which I do not drink because I have a half bottle left over. And the story behind it is, went on a date with a girl, got the bottle of whiskey, made the joke that, look, I don't drink whiskey, I bought this for you, whatever happens, fine, you're not allowed to leave, we're not allowed to be done until you drink all that.
I don't.
But here I am drinking whiskey.
Nope, this is awful, this is bad.
That would be Andrew Ledman coming to us from our nation's capital. How you doing?
I'm a little not great after that story. An Amber
10
alert
is a scary world.
And with us from Crimson Quarry tonight, we have Ben Raffel. How you doing, Ben?
Good. I am coming to you from cold Boston right now. That's where I live currently.
That sounds like a weird name for a tent.
Oh, thank you, Casey. And our final guest is Kyle. What on earth was that?
That was my puppy kicking a water bowl over.
Well, all right then.
Dragging it across the floor.
And our final guest tonight is Kyle Swick, also of Crimson Quarry. How you doing, Kyle?
I'm doing good, guys.
Well, we
Very
have...
polite.
Yes. We have quite the interesting week this week. We have a couple of 5 and 6 teams entering the bucket. First time since, I believe, 2007 that both team or no, 2000 was Indiana 5 and 6 going into the 2012 bucket game or no?
No.
Definitely not.
Then it might be, I would say 2000, I think it was 2007, both teams could have gotten bowl eligible with a win, and Indiana won, or at least Purdue was already bowl eligible, something like that.
That was a weird year where there were too many bowl teams, and it was, that was my freshman year at IU, and IU was, they were six and five, but it was largely accepted that they were going to need to win a seventh game to actually go to a bowl that year.
But I know this doesn't happen very often, that both teams are playing, winner goes to a bowl game, loser is staying home, unless you have Indiana's handy APR score, in which you guys might still be getting in, right? Am I correct?
That is correct.
I think something like 11, we need like 11 teams to win and get for them. If we lose, we need like 11 other teams to win and get to 6 and 6, so that pushes us into a bowl game if we finish.
There's a bunch of weird scenarios.
It is way easier to beat Purdue than it is figure out that math.
So yeah,
but I have all 14 of them if you would like me.
Because I see that Indiana has the 982 for APR. Purdue is way down at 971. So not only could Daryl Hazel not coach, he couldn't get his players to actually go to frickin' class. Thanks a lot, Daryl.
Am I supposed to know what an APR is?
It's like the financing rate on like a car.
Yeah, like when you buy a house.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not supposed to know that.
No.
Yeah, Casey's not much. He's barely an adult. But anyway, we got quite a bucket game this week, and we'll start off with the Crimson Quarry guys. You know, what are you guys thinking heading into Saturday? You've won 2 in a row, kind of turned things around. And according to S&P, what you guys love, and I have no idea how it actually works, Purdue and Indiana are the two best 5-win teams in America, too.
Oh, hell yes. That's exactly what you want in a rivalry game.
What are your initial thoughts here going into Saturday? I know Indiana's had some rough luck this year against a really tough schedule early on, but seems to have turned around this week. Plus, you guys have solved the mystery of Rutgers, or Rutger, as you call it.
I really wish this game was in Bloomington. That's my first inclination, which I know you guys probably wouldn't agree with, since I believe the last two have been in Bloomington.
Three of the last four,
that's right.
The last four, which IU have won all four, I believe.
Wait, is that true?
Yeah, this and a fifth win would be, I think, unprecedented for IU in this series, because we are so far behind Purdue in total buckets. But I think we've never won more than four in a row. And this, and like last year was the only time, I think the first time since the 40s that we've won four in a row in this series. So
I think half of the Purdue's team had to go serve in World War II for us to win.
Yeah, that's
feel like
correct.
You guys are being really nice right now, just so later you're going to like really come back.
I don't know, man. It's Sunday night. I just had Thanksgiving today. Like I'm in a pretty like good mood.
I had Thanksgiving today. What are you, Canadian?
IU fans aren't mean. They're just hungry.
Listen.
No, we called them Canadian. So Canadian Thanksgiving was a month ago, Edmund.
Which I also did that. I never chance to have a Thanksgiving.
I did a Friendsgiving last night.
It's like Thanksgiving, but actually fun.
You were mentioning the four in a row, and you're correct. Indiana won four in a row from 44 to 47. That was actually part of when they'd won 7 of 8 from 1940 to 47.
Nice.
And immediately after that, Purdue ripped off 10 in a row. And it was 10 in a row, and it looks like 20 out of the next 23 with 2 Indiana wins and a tie. So I'm fine with getting back to those days. I mean, I don't know about you guys, Casey and Andrew.
Yeah, so I could use a 10-game win streak over, well, hell, anyone at this point. but it would be great over IU. Yeah.
I think it's kind of, I think for me, it's kind of this emotional void right now because I really, really, really needed to beat Rucker on Saturday because those people are the absolute worst. And, you know, it was funny. It was a legitimate question. Like, we were legitimately split in the team Slack. And I said, if you could only win one of these remaining two games, which one would you rather win? And me and a couple others would rather have beaten Rutger.
That being nice thing now, earlier that, just came back right now. What you just said was very rude. We are rivals.
I said Purdue. I said Purdue because I want this five in a row thing to happen.
Hold on.
Why do you hate Rutgers so
you
badly?
You dismissed us for Rutgers.
Do you guys not know that lore? Like,
I
what?
Follow one Rutgers person.
So two years ago, I wrote like the same game preview. It's so formulaic. I write them every week. Actually, now I try to pass off most of them. And it was just like, here's what S&P says. Here's what their personnel looks like. Here's how their season's been to date. And like for 2015 Rucker, like that was really bad stuff. Like they were a bad team.
Their coach got fired at the end of the season.
I was like, look at these numbers. This team is terrible. Like, I didn't even say terrible. It's like, this team is not having the season you would want them to have. They're struggling big time. You know, the games at IU, I think IU was a double digit home favorite. And so, you know, I kind of wrote the preview from that perspective that it was like, you know, you should be expecting a victory if you're IU in this game. And 40 Rucker fans just flood the comments. Like, I got email threats. Like, you better not show your face in New Jersey. And I was like, don't worry about that.
It is. Have you ever taken the train past Rutgers?
Yes, I have. past High Point Solutions Stadium.
I live.
the highest point of that transit train ride. So I grew up in Jersey for 12 years, and I have relatives there. I still go there often. I go to the Jersey Shore every summer to get my GTL on. Anyway, my point is I have like cousins who are from there, and you know, they could have gone to Rutger, had you know cheaper tuition and everything. All of them went to out of state schools. my cousin, she was so happy when she got off the wait list for University of Delaware because it meant she didn't have to go to Rutger. So So like even within the state, it has this reputation. You know, most if you're a college football fan in Jersey, you're usually a Notre Dame or Penn State fan. So there's this reputation even like within the Garden State about Rucker that is kind of still pretty not so great.
But yeah, they were just horribly awful people to me personally.
You're disrespecting Rutgers.
Yeah, it was completely out of nowhere.
They all talk like Chris Christie talks.
And then that 2015 game happens where IU blows a 25-point lead to them, and that didn't make anything better. and it's just snowballed from there. And, of course, we were from the jump, like, you know, Rutgers should not be in the Big Ten. This is awful. We wrote plenty about that. And, you know, that's all true. And they didn't appreciate it. But, man, just the vitriol is incredible. Like, I had never seen something like that, you know, on the internet from a fan base. And, I mean, you know, IU has some pretty intense rivalry. You've got, like, the University of Kentucky that goes after, you know, that doxes refs and tries to get them fired and, like, writes petitions and are just absolutely psychotic. And I still never experienced anything like I experienced with Rutger fans. So that's where that all comes from.
I had no idea.
Deeply personal. Whereas Purdue, it's like I grew up in Hendricks County. I live here now. You drive 45 minutes north, you're in Lafayette. You drive 45 minutes south, you're in Bloomington. So I've been around this rivalry my entire life, and I have great friends and family members that went to Purdue. So it's more of it's still a rivalry. Like, we still give each other good amounts of shit, that good stuff. Can I say shit on the podcast?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, well, yeah, it's the same with me. I mean, I went to SPIA for grad school at IU, so environmental affairs school. So you have quite a few Purdue undergrads who end up there for grad school. So, you know, I've friends who went to Purdue undergrad as well. So, you know, there's some sort of like friendliness.
I like that you're all making the racist argument, the like, I'm not a racist argument towards Purdue. I know people that went to Purdue. It's fine.
But I'm just saying,
I dated a Boilermaker. It's fine.
That
just once.
That kind of colors the interaction, though. No pun intended. Simply because you know, I watch most of the Purdue games like with these people, either standing with them in the stadium or like watching it at our house. And so, you know, I'm not going to get like real shitty with them over a football game. And 90% of the time that I've been a fan, the game hasn't meant anything. And so
that is something like, it's not a good, it has not been a good spot, our rivalry in either sport for quite a while. No.
I think it only three times both teams have only twice have both teams gone to a bowl in the same season, I believe. And I think that was 2007. Obviously, you guys have the big win for Heppner and everything. And then 1979, both teams went to a bowl. I think you guys went to the Holiday Bowl and we were in the infamous Blue Bonnet Bowl against Tennessee.
That's right. I did a piece on all of IU's bowl games last year, and I remember that one. They're all 10 of IU's bowl games, but I remember that one specifically because I think Lee Corso was still the coach, and we had this huge comeback to beat BYU, and it was the first time IU has ever had a huge comeback in football to win.
How do you guys feel about the fact that Lee Corso took the bucket and laid with it naked?
I feel great about it.
lot of enthusiasm for saggy balls.
That is exactly what I would do if I had the bucket. I can like, I mean that's probably on the mild end of what I would do if I had that bucket. So
your bucket list is literally teabagging the bucket.
Yeah, at the very least. I also have a great story about the 2007 bucket game. I was a freshman. I was in the front row. I thought that when Austin Starr kicked that field goal that it was his time expired. So I jumped the rail.
That's like a 10-foot fall, isn't it?
It is a 10-foot fall on the student side. So it was the Purdue team, you know, right in front of me. And I jump over, and I wasn't the only one that did it. There was four other dumbasses that joined me because we all thought the game was over. We get like slammed up against the wall by security guards, and I'm like, I've made a mistake. Please don't send me to prison. And the guy was like, the guard was real cool about it. He's like, you're fine. You got to wait here. And I can't remember his jersey number, but there was a Purdue player who turned to me and said, you're going to be real embarrassed when we end up winning this game anyway. And he ended up being wrong. But I was like, oh, man, that would be really embarrassing. And all these Purdue people have seen me do it.
No, that sounds almost like the infamous Kentucky LSU game where the Kentucky fans are tearing down the opposite goalpost as LSU completes the miracle Hail Mary, like 70-yard Hail Mary to win at the other end of the
exactly.
Final.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was like that on a micro scale.
without any of the coolness. Just,
yeah. I think that clip is great, too, because like as Devery Henderson's running back, the final score says on the screen says like Kentucky 30, LSU 27, final, like as he's taking it to the house. I mean, nothing beats the Stanford band on the field, but that comes pretty close.
Yeah,
I honestly think that the LSU Hail Mary is even better than the Stanford band, to be honest.
Yeah, I got to say that because I know that there were multiple students hanging on the other goals post and they had to be flagged down as in, hey, we just lost this game, actually.
Yeah, the band just like got bad instruction.
The band like, interfered with the play, right?
Yeah, the guy had to weave through like an entire brass section.
A trombone set a pick.
I think I remember we went back and looked at it and we're trying to decide if the band aided which team the band aided more. And I think it did actually hurt the returner more than it did the, because he had to do a lot of ducking and diving to get through him. And by the time the would-be tacklers followed him, the band had like fallen over.
Guys, I think we're a bit off topic here.
Aren't we supposed to
just be yelling at each other? And
Ledman is a wet blanket, just so we all are clear.
Hey, I could be
Stop talking about your penis.
That was weird. I could be watching The Walking Dead right now.
Wow, 2 years after it was cool.
So let's get some actual game substance here. Both teams have had some alternating quarterback issues. Who are you guys going to go with? Is it going to be Dick Sling and Legow, or is it going to be, what's the other guy, Peyton Ramsey, one of the 27,000 kids named Peyton in this state?
It's actually funny because he's from Ohio. Okay. So. Yes, he wasn't old enough. He wasn't old enough to be, or he's not young enough to have been named after Andy Dalton. So,
but I think it's got to be Lego tomorrow or yeah. Saturday, whatever the game is.
I agree. Ramsey's banged up, first of all. And personally, I kind of thought the clock hit midnight on him being a viable quarterback option until he gained some arm strength. And if we're not going to use his mobility, which Mike DeBoard seems to think doesn't exist, there's no point in having him out there over Lego, who at least has the robo arm, even if he doesn't always know where it's going.
I mean, I noticed you guys have been pretty down on Mike DeBoard this year. Can tell us a little bit about, you know, his background? And I know before the season starts, you guys were like, oh, God, I can't believe we're going from Kevin Wilson to this.
Yeah. So I just remember for a couple of years when he was offensive coordinator to Butch Jones, who is now fired. Oh. Yeah, he's a Butch Jones cast off. But while he was at Tennessee, I remember
really want Butch Jones.
Yes, you did, and you can't ever watch that.
But while he was at Tennessee, all these Michigan fans were just like laughing every time, you know, Tennessee tried to do something on offense. They're like, oh, ha, 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 we remember Mike DeBoard from when, you know, he was our offensive coordinator. And, you know, it just frustrated me to no end. Like, I hate seeing Michigan fans being right. So it just frustrated me to no end that, like, they were kind of correct about him because, you know, they got to see it firsthand for so many years. But I think the thing that's frustrating to me is, like, you kind of it feels like sometimes with his offense, he's, you know, you're trying to keep sort of the up-tempo play calls from the Wilson era and trying to fit, like, sort of a square peg in a round hole for this DeBoard offense. And it just hasn't really worked out, and it just, you know, it's frustrating to see. Like, I think the Michigan State game is the one that, like, put me over the edge, where we only were able to get three field goals, and, you know, in the red zone, just like three sort of like straight up the gut runs at one point. And yeah, just it's just sort of the creativity just doesn't quite seem to be there.
Oh, well, please don't feel bad. We tried to talk ourselves into John Shoup. I mean. That is what it is, but
I'm not ready to joke about that yet.
Oh, John Shoup is. We're always too ready soon. To joke about John Shoup.
No, we're not. It didn't happen.
But I know that you've had some issues with the running game too, because it seemed for a while there you had Tevin Coleman, Jordan Howard. Where's the next great Indiana running back, if you will?
You know, it's funny because this kind of feeds into the hottest take that I have about the IU football team, and that's we miss our offensive line coach, Greg Frey, a lot more than we miss Kevin Wilson. Ooh. And
yeah, I would agree with that.
When Greg Frey left 2 years ago to take the same job at Michigan. Last year.
Have you guys written a column called Frayed Edges yet? Or Frayed Lines? Because it's just perfect.
No.
No. And we never will.
Won't anytime soon now.
It's
nice.
It was kind of hard. It was a hard point to make at first because his departure coincided to the departure of Jason Spriggs, who was a longtime stalwart of that line at left tackle, and there was a lot of turnover. And last year, Dan Feeney was in it. He's with a San Diego Chargers now, was in and out of the lineup.
Yes, thank you for calling them the San Diego Chargers. I don't accept the fact that they moved to LA. They are still the San Diego Chargers. I did that at work the other day, too. It's all good.
They're not LA. Ever since he's been gone, the offensive line play has been an absolute disaster, which handicaps basically everything we want to try to do offensively. So whether or not, you know, Mike DeBoard is a good offensive coordinator or not, I lean more towards him not being, but I'm not as convinced as others because the line play is so bad. It hamstrings Indiana's ability to run the ball, which then hamstrings your ability to effectively use play action, RPO, all that good stuff, that the kind of misdirection that makes college offenses go. And it's what necessitated the switch to Peyton Ramsey in the first place, was because Lego's just a sitting duck back there. The guy can do a lot of things, but he cannot move. And Ramsey at least has enough wiggle to his game that he could get away and get downfield or buy himself some more time in the pocket if needed when not if the pocket breaks down, but when it breaks down. And as far as the next great IU running back goes, Mike Majette was a guy I advocated for a long time, just because his numbers, when you kind of broke them down, you saw a guy that really excelled in space. And this year there's no space for him. And I think he's averaging less than 2 yards a carry. So they turned it over to true freshman Morgan Ellison, who is kind of more in the poor man's Jordan Howard mold of just this battering ram, where it doesn't matter that he's getting met at the line and having to fight through contact because he's strong enough, he's big enough, he does get through it. He had a great game against Rucker, though, and that's not something that a lot of running backs can say. They, you know, the Scarlet Knights run defense is legitimate this year. They shut down Saquon Barkley, which any Rucker fan will be happy to tell you leading up to this game was the reason why they were going to shut down Simi Cobbs, or as the on the banks called it, Sammy Cobbs. And
that lost member of the Rat Pack, Sammy Cobbs Jr.
Oh, yes.
One other thing I want to add to what Kyle was saying is we also lost our running backs coach, our former running backs coach, Dallin McCullough, to USC over the offseason. And Divine Redding was a 1,000-yard rusher. Jordan Howard's a 1,000-yard rusher. Tevin Coleman's a 1,000-yard rusher. So after
Divine Redding, two times 1,000-yard rusher. Yeah, actually.
Right. Losing three straight 1,000-yard rushers, not easy. I mean, Ellison, you can see some of the potential, but yeah, I think Kyle hit it on the head there.
He's got to work on his ball security, but he's the perfect running back for the state of IU right now, which is, hey, here's the ball. There's a linebacker already here, so good luck.
Nice. And I know for me, I'm also having just recurring nightmares of Simi Cobbs, because I still cannot believe that Daryl Hazel wanted him to be a defensive back, and it's just inexcusable.
My favorite thing to talk about.
So did Mac Brown.
I feel like you can accurately summarize Daryl Hazel's capability of as a college football coach by saying he wanted 6'5" Simi Cobbs in his secondary. Yikes.
Yeah, he also didn't want to recruit Coy Kronk, who was a freshman All-American last year when he needed a bloody left tackle. But we're here to talk about the positive. Yeah, the fact that we're moving forward as a program.
Are you guys moving forward?
That
do
was
you
the,
want
silence
that
the silence of moving forward.
The silence of moving forward.
Do you feel like we are moving forward?
I think the craziest thing about Purdue is how good they've been on defense this year.
I know.
Despite the hire that they made, you know, you associate Jeff Brohm with scoring points, and rightfully so. But he came in and he's really turned the defense around. And what you're going to have on Saturday are two really good defenses going at it. Their numbers haven't been updated yet because apparently Bill Connolly doesn't work for me, but I was hanging right at number 30 and Purdue's 28th, and both of those are probably going to go up based on their performances on Saturday, with Purdue holding Iowa to 9 points, 12 points.
15.
They got 15 because they went for two late.
I stopped paying attention to the game after a while.
I was all optimistic about IU's chances to win on Saturday, like at about 5 p.m. when the typhoon-delayed Rutger game ended. And then like 2.5
that
hours
screwed
later
up my whole day too.
2.5 hours later, I check my phone while I'm at this Friendsgiving, and I see that Purdue has beaten Iowa, and I'm like, oh no, like this could be a tough one on Saturday.
Well, I saw an interesting stat they had put up yesterday. In 5 of Purdue's last 6 games, they have held the opponent to 2 touchdowns or less, which is just really strange to think about as bad as our defense has been.
I mean, we shut Wisconsin down for an entire game.
Yeah.
It was really strange. Like, now
you guys are talking like IU fans are talking, like, oh, I mean, we shut down this top 5 team, or like we really took it to this top 5 team. And this is, you know, how I've sort of felt for the past 5 years.
We haven't had football joy in 5 years.
I understand this, but like you're talking like we've been talking, you know, oh, we one play away from beating Ohio State, one play away from beating Michigan. Like, oh, had Michigan State on the ropes. So like, yeah, I know. I totally understand this.
Look, we're the boyfriend who like We're the guy who just broke up with the really crazy girl, and now we're dating a normal one. And even though she's not awesome, we like tell our, hey, she's good, right? She's like, she's good. I went home. I came home like 30 minutes late. She didn't throw a knife at me. Like, that's good, right?
The craziest thing too. The craziest thing too is like this girl's gonna end up taking the Florida job. So
you're gonna go fucking you shut downstairs.
But
I will kick you off this podcast.
I'm struck a nerve.
I will shut this whole thing down.
You look at
no. What I want to have happen is Scott Frost to take the Florida job so that Nebraska fans go haywire. That's
why
what
would
I want.
Scott Frost take a worse job though?
True.
You think Florida's worse than where?
Than UCF?
That's mostly a joke at the expense of Florida fans. So
yeah,
these names.
When I was at the University of Miami, I had to deal with Florida fans a lot. So there's a lot of like, there's a lot of material stored up in there that doesn't really play
don't
up here.
Like
in
fans. That,
say what?
I don't. It feels like you have a lot of personal things with a lot of fan groups.
Oh, I. Sports are very personal. Like if I can't feel personally aggrieved by a team, then what's the point? So
but you don't feel that way about us.
I don't.
I keep forgetting that we have the state of Indiana's two biggest University of Miami fans on this podcast right now.
Yes,
that's
yes.
true.
Oh, fuck.
Because I believe, if I know the lore correctly, that T-Mail, did your wife go to UM?
Yes, she graduated in 02 from the U and was there with Brian McKinney and all those guys, Jonathan Vilma, had a couple classes with him and everything.
I graduated from there in 2014, and I was there with Al Golden. So we had a couple different experiences with Hurricanes football. But
him on the sideline, sweating through that shirt, wearing his
I have to say, it's been amazing wearing like Hurricanes gear around town because there's so much Notre Dame gear around here. And
oh yeah,
I just want to write the score on my forehead.
Last Sunday we wore Canes jerseys out and about, and it was glorious.
Perfect.
You wear matching jerseys with your wife?
No, we don't wear matching jerseys.
You were wearing jerseys of the same school. That
well, I mean, like different numbers.
Sure, you changed the numbers.
No, I've got a green one. She's got an orange one.
Oh wow, that's completely different.
Thanks, Levin. Appreciate it.
Did either of you two guys go to IU?
Yeah, I went to IU for undergrad.
I went to IU for grad school.
Okay.
I got my law degree in Miami.
Okay, I was like, you're talking about Miami.
Whoa,
you're
hold on. Lawyer?
Yeah, I'm a true SB Nation blogger because I have a as well. So
Ledman's our lawyer in training, and he serves as our legal counsel for everything.
Yes. Nice.
Where are you going to school at?
UB.
Okay. I don't know what the B stands for, so I'm just going to say
Baltimore.
Okay. Oh, Baltimore. Okay. I was like, UB. And then I was like, wait.
Fuck those guys. Do you have any stories about UB fans?
I don't know. Baltimore fans have mistreated me lately, but I will. you'll know it if it happens.
So they will now. They all listen to this podcast.
Let me ask the IU guys a question. What is the one thing that you're like most afraid of about this game and one thing you think IU can take advantage of for this game?
Can I answer the second question first? Because I have a lot more things I'm afraid about than
you
things
know,
I feel
sir.
Okay. Then I'm going to need the second.
Answer the second.
Wait, what was the order of the questions again?
You can answer in whatever order you want. I know two things is a lot to keep in your head.
I'm looking at Purdue's profile right now, and this kind of matches up with I've watched a fair amount of Purdue this year just because I look for reasons to prod you guys online about them. And and if you break down Purdue's defense kind of into the two, you know, things you break it down into, you get your pass defense and your run defense. Their run defense is outstanding. These numbers are crazy. You could smack these numbers on like Alabama's profile and they would fit there too. And while that is a bummer, at the same time, IU can't run on anybody. And so, you know, not being able to run the ball isn't unfamiliar territory for IU. So it's kind of this strange cold comfort where it's like, oh, they're good at stopping the run, but we can't run the ball anyway. So who cares? And you're a little bit leakier against the pass. Yeah, pretty pedestrian numbers there. And so for a team that's going to throw the ball 60 times and make the game last 5.5 grueling hours with or without a lightning delay, there's at least some area for optimism there that if Lego can successfully avoid throwing the ball right into the gut of a defender more than two times, that they could probably get some points on the board, which is, it's so weird to talk and to kind of couch the game in terms like that after the Kevin Wilson era, to be like, well, we can just cobble together three touchdowns. Be okay. Whereas it was 4 years of, well, if we can just hold them under 50, we'll have a chance. So,
and didn't Legau throw four interceptions last year against us or something?
I know Xander threw one of them because he shouldn't ever throw the ball. And it was one of the worst picks I've ever seen in my entire life. Go ahead, Ben.
I liked how Xander ran. I believe it was him who ran for the intentional safety to run out the clock at the end of the Purdue game.
You know what?
The last play of the Kevin Wilson era, an intentional safety.
I've got beef about that play with the hometown clock operator that left 1 second on the clock when he could have easily just ticked it off. Like, what's the point of employing a clock operator if not for that very situation?
I thought this was the Hall of Calls.
Exactly. And so we had to do the whole safety punt thing anyway and leave like the game in the balance. The whole thing was the safety was supposed to end the game. It's like, come on, clock operator, be a team player here. I was really upset about that because I thought it would be the most Indiana football thing ever to do the smart football play, take the intentional safety, which is such a fun thing to do when you're in a situation that warrants it, and then the clock operator leaves the second on, so they have to punt it back to Purdue, who then returns it for a touchdown and ruins everything.
You guys got the blarge later. It's fine.
Blarge that just set everybody on fire.
It was the worst call I've ever seen in my life.
Honestly,
you can't block and charge at the same time.
Everyone should have just gotten out of the way, including the refs and including the eight other basketball players, and just let Biggie and Bryant play make it take it for 20 minutes in the second
Caleb
half.
Caleb would kill him by 50.
Okay.
Bryant is awful. I don't even hate IU players normally. I hated his stupid face.
That's fine.
Apparently whiskey makes me angry.
I think the thing that worries about me for Saturday is if it gets into sort of a back and forth game like Maryland was, and there are just a bunch of crazy things, and for some reason that it just all goes haywire. I think if it's a low scoring game, I kind of like our chances. But if things just go a little crazy, I like the guy who has the offensive genius reputation as the head coach.
Yeah, and it's crazy.
Let me feel
the same
real quick
way, but it's not. But it's not like Purdue's offense is, this fierce to be there.
I mean, Maryland scored 42 on us with a third stringer. So,
Elijah Sindelar completes 56% of his passes for 6.25 yards an attempt.
Yeah, he's a dink and dunker.
Those are not good.
But until Mahungu had his awakening for six plays yesterday, we couldn't complete a downfield pass to save our lives. I mean, we had the Nebraska game. We had a guy drop a wide open touchdown off his damn face.
Whoever was responsible for those defensive plays, you can get beat on that once where you leave one-on-one with a guy who apparently has a 5'4 40. Because our receivers are slow, and he just blew by him three times.
Well, Mahungu's got speed. He's not been able to gain much separation because we beat him up.
Speed. Yeah, he has exactly. Speed on our offense.
Speed relative to the rest of our rest.
He doesn't fall down when he runs, so he's quick.
So here's the thing: you say all this, but you act like Indiana football operates on sort of a normal plane. It does. It does not. You say all this as if this normal action will happen on Saturday, but it doesn't because you're playing Indiana football.
The only reason I feel any confidence about this game is that it is at Purdue, and for whatever reason, that just gives me a little bit of confidence that we can get those extra points. And I mean, IU's just been so up and down that you have no idea who's going to show up.
Right. I mean, you guys just dropped 41 on a team we could only score 12 against. And, you know,
we did.
And yeah, that's right. We defeated Rutgers 41 to nothing yesterday. I just want to point that out.
Yeah. And the thing is with this Purdue team, it's like I feel frustrated that we could easily have 7 wins right now because we should have beaten Nebraska and we should have beaten Rutgers. Those are two I feel like we let get away. But at the same
sounds
time,
like every conversation we've had about Indiana football.
Yep,
the last
this sound like IU football.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like it would kind of feel empty going to a bowl game at 7-5 and losing to Indiana, where it feels like it would feel like more successful to beat Indiana and go 6-6, if that makes sense.
No, it's just only fun because right now, as we're looking at it, this game matters.
Yeah,
and there hasn't been a football game that mattered in West Lafayette for like 8. Years.
Oh, pretty well.
That's a rough equivalency.
I said yesterday was our biggest win since the original Purdue Harbor in 2009, but even then, that didn't lead to anything. That just ended up coming out of nowhere.
See, my thing is, though, I think it's going to be tough for you guys to come off a big victory in your biggest rivalry game against Iowa and then to go play Indiana. Like to come off a rivalry that might be a little bit of a letdown spot.
Sir, you are speculating about something no one knows anything about. We have no idea how we respond off a big win.
Off a big win against your rivals, anyone. No less.
Against anyone.
Your most hated rivals.
Our definite most hated rivals. Absolutely. But we've won 2 rivalry games this year with Illinois and Iowa, so...
I always forget that Purdue Illinois is a rival.
I always forget that.
The cannon.
Remember when Indiana Illinois was a great basketball rivalry? I do.
Remember when
I miss Illinois being good in basketball.
That Illinois thins. Who threw the pennies in that game in that series?
What?
When they were throwing crap at a player.
Oh, it was Illinois fans throwing him at
Eric Gordon.
Eric Gordon.
Okay. They didn't throw him at a player. They threw him at his parents.
Oh, that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a real good lot up there.
Yeah, they took that a little too seriously. It was like, dude, calm down.
And if you're going to do that in a basketball arena, it has to be dimes, right?
So you can see you're dropping dimes.
Right.
Jesus Christ.
Nice. Well, I think we could probably start winding this down before we get off on too far tangents. We've been on here for 52 minutes, so
talked about basketball.
Well, let's not talk about basketball, but instead I can tell the story from the 2008 bucket game that I attended.
The 2000. Oh yes, that one.
Time. I like this.
So, I went up to Purdue on Friday night and stayed. No, I went up on Thursday night because I got locked out of the dorms on Friday morning.
What bars did you go to?
I was
where 18, else?
So no, I was 20, so 0 bars. And
you weren't very good at being 20, were you?
I thought I was pretty good. I've never liked bars, period. It's not a thing I enjoy. I don't like paying extra for booze I can make at home, and I don't like having to coordinate. Anyway, back to the game. I go to the game with I have a student section ticket. Obviously, I'm very well received at the. It actually went a lot better than I thought it was going to go from a treatment standpoint. I was like, "Hey guys, I'm just here with my buddies. I don't want any trouble."
And, did your buddy get a bunch of shit? Because I wouldn't make fun of you. I would just like attack him the whole time.
Yeah, I'd yell at your buddy.
No, I think everyone was mostly like, you know, the way the game went kind of made things pretty, like, pretty easy. There was, because Purdue gets out to like a 14-0 lead in about 8 seconds.
We won 62-10.
Yeah. So I want to say it was early in the second quarter. Purdue kicks off, just a normal kickoff. And IU had 2 returners back who both watched the ball thinking the other guy was going to get it. And it landed between them. And then a Purdue guy comes sliding in and recovers it. And at that moment, I shook everyone's hands around me, said, "Congrats on the record. I'll see you all later." And I left the game, and I made another Purdue friend of mine make me food because I was hungry and mad. And that's my story from the 2008 Bucky game. So
that's fantastic.
Okay, so if we're sharing fun stories of Purdue IU football games where the other team wins, I went to the game where the Heppner game at IU, and it was me and another Purdue fan went with our friend who went to IU, and we were in the student section also. In fairness to IU fans, they treated me just fine. You know, nothing happened. But of course, IU wins on a last second field goal. My friend, everybody rushes the field. My IU fan friend was like, "I'm going to rush the field. Are you guys coming?" We're like, "No, we're not coming." So we're like, "You go. We will find you later." So we like walk out of the state, or no, like first we stand there while just, you know, the tens and twenties of students who were there ran by us. And finally we're like, "We're just going to leave." So we like walk out of the stadium, and there was some like promotion where they were handing out cookies. So these these poor students who were just like handing out cookies to everybody, they had them on a table. I just looked at this like she had to have been like 19-year-old student who was like probably making like $4 an hour to hand out these cookies. I look at her in my Purdue shirt and I go, "Thanks for the cookies." And I put both my arms on him, open up my shirt and take like 40 things of these cookies all off her table and just stare at her and walk away.
Wow.
I like how you just slow play you being an asshole for your whole life just for this one moment.
And then so like we're walking through the tailgate fields and there's one of those like you get a big deli tray and they give you the big clear plastic lid on top that's like way too tall because you've got like sandwiches on under it. So we grab one of those and I just dump all the cookies inside of it because they're wrapped. So I'm not, you know, getting them like dirty. So they're wrapped and we walk back the like 2 mile walk to this girl's apartment and just like eat like 40 cookies. And we're like, "This is a nightmare. I want to go drink."
I was at that game. I was at that game too. And that's the only time I was at that game too. That's the only time I ever went out to the bars in Bloomington because we were with some friends of ours and he was an IU grad and I ended up at the Bluebird and it was actually quite nice, but that's my only.
I saw Afro Man in concert at the Bluebird, and it ruled.
Afro Man at the Bluebird would be excellent.
Because I am a sports blogger in quotes, I saw Jason Isbell at the Bluebird. That seems like a very sports blogger thing to do.
What's a Jason Isbell?
Ross Aid for standing.
Yes, you did get kicked out of Ross Aid for standing. That's right.
Yes.
And that was during the Hazel era when there was like 20 people there. Period.
Yeah.
So that's an impressive feat. I have to give you credit for that one.
That was pretty cool.
All right. So before we go, we have to make actual predictions. You don't have to give me the score. We just got to give you who wins.
All right. Start us off, then.
I mean, like I said, the only reason I'm picking Purdue is because it's at home. I feel like it's going to be a super weird game. Either it could be like 55-49 or like 12.
There's no chance we could score either of those numbers.
Well, that's what I mean. Like these teams make no sense at all. One week
it's the upside down.
Like, yeah, we're in the upside down. That is
29-11 with no safeties.
But either way,
it's a John Boy scorigami game.
Ooh, the Foonfer could be in play then. That'd be fun.
the world's first ever 5-4 football game.
I don't that know what amazing. Joke you just made, Travis. I don't know what reference it was, but it was right up Ben's alley.
The Foonfer
is like it is old. This is, I think, from like a 2008, 2009 vintage Everyday Should Be Saturday article, and that's where what he calls when a team has 5 points.
So, you know, field goal and safety, or the extremely rare, you lose 6-5 because you got the field goal and you blocked an extra point and ran it back for two. I could see something like that happening in this game. That would be impressive to have it be 6-5.
There will definitely be a blocked kick or punt.
Oh, ooh. Yeah. I think I agree with that.
I think that feels right. For Purdue, I looked it up now. We have gone 7 straight games giving up 2 touchdowns or less. And I think we've had 5 in a row now or 4 in a row where we've held a team under 100 yards rushing, which are just numbers that blow my mind with as poor as our defense has been for years and years and years. So
we gave up 700 yards last year to Maryland on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
There.
Yeah, so was I. I mean, just It was
stop
a track.
Stop going to games. Jesus.
I'm done in 2 years. I'm going to Nebraska next year, and I'm going to Iowa in 2 years to finish it off. And see, I've been to road games where we've won. It's just the first visit always sucks. The first visit.
You just said 10-1.
That's on the first visit. Like, I've been to Indiana several times where we won. It's just the first time we went was 2001, and we lost 13-7 in a bloody monsoon.
How was your first time having sex?
Terrible. That's true for anybody.
It was pretty great for me. Like,
this is pretty big what day happened to my life.
we were doing predictions.
So let's go to the Scrimson Corey guys. Gone. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm gonna say something like 21-19 Indiana, but like that 21 is scored in a really weird way, like a as you said, like a returned blocked extra point, or like a safety, or like seven field goals. Like the 20, like, IU's gonna
that
score.
That feels right. Like,
it's gonna be like one of those weird blackjack games where like the dealer keeps showing a two and like an ace and like a six and like, it's, yeah. So, yeah. IU 21, Purdue 19.
I think Purdue wins by 5 or 6, probably like mid-20s to low-20s. So,
Casey,
I don't,
what do you think?
I don't feel great about the game, to be honest. I feel worse about it the more I look at it.
I not only will there be like a block kick, it'll be like returned by that team. They'll be real excited, then they'll like fumble it into the end zone, so that it'll just be a touchback.
Oh, there was a play like that in the 06 bucket game where there were two fumbles on one play.
Yep,
I just made it up. It's never happened.
No, that was Jake Standiford was one of the guys on that play. He ran all the way around the field and punched.
Jake Standiford or
yeah,
John?
Jake was he John's brother?
Tracy Porter was the IU player involved.
Yep.
Oh, I love Tracy Porter.
Me too.
He won.
Hey,
the Saints,
gave Drew Brees the Super Bowl ring. So.
Yeah. I think Purdue defense is the only like consistent good thing on the field. So I think Purdue will win, and it'll be like 26-19, but it won't be that close. I think IU will score late.
I would love for the ghost of Joe Taylor to come back and drop 55 for old time's sake, but the only game where we've only been over 30 twice this year, and one of them took a pick six on basically the final play of the game. So I like what you guys are saying with the it just feels like one of those close games in the 20s and everything. And I'm going to say that Purdue pulls it out just barely, like 27-24 or something. That would be.
I also think this could be one of IU's last chances for a while. I hate to say this to win the bucket game, because like if Brohm gets this offense rolling, you know, Purdue is playing, you know, some Big Ten West opponents for the most part, you know, they and you know, Brohm sticks around, you know, I could see them, you know, get it, especially with how the defense is playing this year. The defense keeps it up and Brohm gets the offense rolling, like, you know, 8 or 9 wins in Big Ten West, not out of the cards.
I am fully sure he's gone. There's no way he stays for more than like 2 years.
Oh, you shut up.
He's staying. He's staying. We're going to be fine. We're already paying him $3.5 million a year or
That's
something.
Not that much money.
Oh, well, excuse me, Mr. Casual Millionaire.
How much they tip you at that hole in a wall bar you work at, man?
Don't worry about it.
I think he sells kidneys on the side. I'm just a little skeptical there. So does anybody else have any final thoughts before we pull this train into the station?
Yeah, I'm going to make a plug for myself.
No.
Yeah. I'm going to be on Jeopardy. I'm going to be on Jeopardy in 3 weeks.
Wait,
oh,
seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't leave with that?
I didn't have a chance to.
Literally, I wouldn't say words until those were the first things that came out.
The people got to wait till the end to hear the good stuff.
So I assume you're going to tell us how much you won, and then you get it taken away by Jeopardy or something, right? Like Alex Trebek comes to your house?
No, I can't say anything other than Friday, December 8th, set your DVR.
That's pretty cool, though.
But only the 8th?
Oh!
Friday, December 8th. That's it.
He did well. You almost got him there, Casey.
All right. Any other final thoughts?
I can't say anything else, but yeah, my Facebook pictures with me with Trebek, and I'm never changing it.
Hey, gotta keep it. So I'd like to thank our guests, Ben and Kyle, for coming over to the Hammer and Rails podcast. And I know we're wishing each other the worst of luck on Saturday, but should be a fun contest. And if you haven't bought tickets, go buy tickets. It's going to be a fun game. So this is the email here. We lost Kyle and Ben.
Oh no! I zoned out. I was looking at I was looking at dank memes online. Sorry.
No, I've been rendered speechless. Okay.